Live from the pocket universe between Lee George Cade's non sequiturs, it's the Geek Show.
Well, all I can say is that this Daggett is not a very good hunting Daggett. And Daggett. So I had to take him to the gravel pit.
Oh no, what does not that a mean? Politically
This will make sense on Monday.
Not a politically relevant commentary.
That lady, yeah.
Did you try mushies?
Oh, I should have tried some mushies to well train my Daggett. Damn it. Let's start the show. All right.
Did she really kill a doggy?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Easy Pete's.
Instead of there's opting so many other to options. Take the time to like train it, mm-hmm. she was just like, "Oh,
find it a new home.
This dog is killing my chickens and is a master of evil. I'm just going to take it to a gravel pit and shoot it."
Mm-hmm. Well, that's funny because I'm sure she kills her chickens too. Maybe the dog should have killed her.
You got him.
Boom. Shots fired. Poo-poo-poo-poo-poo.
Shots fired.
I'm Yosemite Sam of Geek Show.
He is. He's Lee George Cade, everybody.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, tell me I'm pretty.
You're right. Pretty.
Quad T, Too Tall Tony is here. He is the heart and soul of Geek Show podcast.
Oh, thanks.
Because he still has a soul. See, that's
clinging by a thread, but it's there.
I guess you found the one uptake of religion as you get
clinging
a soul.
By a thread.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I've got a special gift for Rebecca for her birthday. Are you ready, Rebecca?
Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. Oh, here it comes. Well, give it a sec. Here it comes.
That's really something, Lex.
This is Shatner saying happy birthday.
Yay!
That was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Sorry.
Yes. Honestly, yes.
you've been holding on to that since I was like 22 years old.
I know, right?
I remember coming home on my 22nd birthday and pressing play on my answering machine, and that was there.
Sounded like you got it from a CB radio.
Oh, it was when I was interviewing him, and he says, "Would you wish?" I said, "Would you wish somebody happy birthday?" And he sighed, and then he went, "This is Shatner saying happy birthday."
The burden of celebrity.
Oh, it was so tough for him, so difficult.
The burden of Shatner. If you just had like a C cup or bigger, Harry,
mm-hmm. I know, right?
He would have wished you a happy birthday when you walked in.
Exactly. Live from Baltimore, I think.
Is it Robert Neal? Close.
You're close.
Robert, you have to give us 2% of your knowledge about Bastion.
Oh, yeah, I need to know.
No,
I thought it was
2%.
The Purple Man.
We're going to be talking about Bastion in the after party.
I can do that.
We're going to need some background, basically.
Yeah.
I can help you out there.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Let's
and our host.
Mr.
Kerry Jackson.
Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, x96.com. All right, let's begin. All people are talking about this week is our first item of business. Mm-hmm. That is the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer that popped.
Tony, you haven't watched it yet?
I haven't. I purposefully have. I'm already sold on this movie. I don't want to spoil the jokes, except for the Layfield one right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. They're even
Layfield's
tiny.
Little feet.
Yep. I need to watch it for the podcast, but I don't want to for the Tony.
But everybody keeps.
You don't have to. It's okay.
Everybody keeps going. Everybody keeps going to this establishment, not because they're good at what they do, but just because they're so nice.
Yes.
Nicest tiny feet in town.
There were a lot of things in the trailer. We're going to have to talk about it, Tony. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, the first thing I noticed was yes, that is Ant-Man in giant form. That's his body?
Skull. That's his skull.
Skull?
Could just be a helmet.
Skeleton?
No, it
because his arms were there too.
His skull's underneath it, and that is from one of the comics.
Yeah, so that was disturbing for me as an Ant-Man fan.
Get wrecked, Gary.
I know, well, right?
Just think of it as your least favorite Ant-Man and go, okay, it's better.
It's that guy.
Yeah. And it's the irredeemable Ant-Man. no, I liked that one, actually.
I was going to say, irredeemable's good.
We got to look at Dogpool.
Little baby Dogpool.
Red Skull's car is in there.
What?
Yeah, but with flames painted on the side.
I hope Arnim Zola is the one driving it, though.
First Avenger movie? That car? Mm-hmm.
That car.
Yeah, cause,
it has flames painted on the side of it.
Which is mm-hmm. what I would have done if I had been Arnim Zola, because Red Skull took off in the rocket and said, "Arnim Zola, you may take my ride."
Now, we also got a pretty good look at Cassandra Nova, who is the villain, played by Emma Corrin.
Kelly.
And so I had to do a little research on Cassandra Nova.
And what did you find out about Rescue Ventures Conjoined Fetal Twin?
It was disturbing as hell.
About how the...
Good.
The,
yeah,
the aborted cells of Cassandra Nova survive in the sewer and just grow on the wall.
Yeah.
So that is to say that she was an active mutant before she was actively a human?
She and Charles Xavier in the womb get into a fist fight.
And then Charles killed her.
It's insane.
Killed her in the womb.
As what happens with all aborted fetus cells, they get flushed down the toilet.
I don't think that's how that works either.
You weren't there, Tony. There's a lot going on here.
She's such a powerful mutant fetus stem cell creature
that she's able to reassemble herself.
Yeah. I thought mutations didn't show up until adolescence, puberty.
Not always.
This is the conversation that the Republicans are trying to have.
You're not a mutant unless you've hit puberty.
Life
begins at mutant conception.
When she grows up, she goes to Spider Skull Island, and she puts together her own team venture.
This makes sense. Now, I get it.
Now, she's also, in the comics, the architect of the Genosian genocide.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on with Cassandra Nova, but I don't think we're going to get any of that in this movie.
No, this movie, I think it's going to be far too cameo heavy, because also in the trailer, sorry to tell you these things, Tony, there's all of these people that show up that appear to work with Cassandra Nova, and they are all old X-Men franchise villains from the movies.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Bunch of them.
Sorry for all the multiverse, Rebecca.
Well, I know. But tell me about it. And Jennifer Garner, they announced that Jennifer Garner is going to be in this movie as Elektra.
Yeah, what? She will be.
Yeah.
Also, my favorite part of the trailer was the fact that Wolverine and Deadpool are fighting in a wasteland where the giant 20th Century Fox logo has been destroyed.
like Planet of the Apes.
But Sean Levy, who is the director, he did say, and this is a quote from him, he says, "I very much made this film with certainly a healthy respect and gratitude towards the rabid fan base that has peak fluency in the mythology and lore of those characters in this world. But I didn't want to presume that. This movie is built for entertainment with no obligation to come prepared with prior research. I was a good student in school. I'll do my homework as an adult, but I'm definitely not looking to do homework when I go to the movies." So what he's saying is that you should be able to walk into this movie and they'll bring you up to speed.
And that's the best kind of fan service, is the kind that isn't necessary to make the movie good, but for the people that know, they can enjoy it.
You also have to
Sorry, go on, Lee.
Oh, I'll make it quick. You have to be really, really careful, because even in this geek X-Men-centric household, the cartoon this year has gone into territory that left my child and my wife both scratching their heads, and they've been around it forever. It's not... And so... You do too deep, you go too far into the inside baseball, you're going to alienate all these people that are just there to watch a movie.
It's true.
Yeah.
They don't need a history lesson from Uncle Lee.
Like, based on the trailers, though, I am worried it is going to be, like, way too inside baseball. Especially, like, if you're going to have all of this self-referential, like, Fox stuff, but also, like, bringing in the TVA. Like, not everybody watched Loki, and I'm sure that, like, maybe they'll explain what that is in the movie, but it still feels like there's going to be a lot of inside baseball.
I think they can hand wave the TVA in, like, three sentences. I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue.
All they have to do is say, this is Marvel's Andor. Go watch it.
There you go. Anyway, people still talking about it, and they're asking me questions, and I don't have all the answers, so I had to go and do the research on a lot of this stuff.
You've had to do homework.
Well, for this and my
first
radio
job.
Show.
Job work, not homework.
Here's one that is kind of homework. I always think of documentaries as kind of homework, but I like that kind of homework.
Are they ever?
And this one, be sure to grab some tissues before you watch.
I just won't watch.
This debuts on May 31st, but it's a trailer for Jim Henson Idea Man. It's directed by Ron. Yeah, directed by Ron Howard.
Hope you guys like crying.
Oh, but exactly. It's going to be really good.
Exactly. They describe the film as an unprecedented, intimate look into Henson's illustrious revolutionary career and complex personal life. Never before seen personal archive home movies, photographs, sketches, and Henson's personal diaries, as well as interviews from people who knew him best.
Wow.
Personal diaries.
Yeah.
Seems kind of personal.
He was the one pushing the whole frog pig love agenda.
Get him, Lee.
And we'll find out. We'll find out why. Yep. But anyway, that's May 31st on Disney Plus. So grab some tissues and watch it when it debuts.
Man.
All right, we got some more news coming up, but let's do a little housekeeping here. Of course, Lee is just a few days away from. His next procedure, which is to go in and fix what happened from the last procedure.
Some cleanup.
A little bit of cleanup in there, yeah.
I don't want to go.
And hopefully he'll be a real boy soon, is what we're hoping. But,
so what you're saying is hopefully I won't have something the size of an orange sticking out of my belly button anymore.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
So go to our social medias. There it is, the Venmo QR code. All the money goes directly to the Cade family to help out. And there's no middleman, nothing taken off the top. It'll all go directly to some hospital.
the big one here. Thank you so much, everybody. It's actually been, I get emotional very easily now. So the generosity has made me very emotional. I'm going to blame it on the Henson documentary, but mostly it's just people, you know, you don't realize that you've actually meant anything to anybody until something like this comes up. And then you realize that you meant, you mean something to a lot of people and that really matters a lot. So thank you.
Yes.
I have to go. There's something in my eye.
So. You're not crying. It's just raining on your eye.
That's right. I hate sand.
Like a big pizza rain all the time.
Also, geekshow.store is out there. It's the only place to get your Geek Show merchandise, official Geek Show merchandise. And we even have flags for the back of your pickup trucks. So, so go get them. There it is. Yeah, put that on the back of your truck. Geekshow.store. And our Patreon, of course, where you get the after party and videos. I'm going to be making some videos this weekend for it, okay?
Yeah, I think we'll get rid of the Fashion Doll shirt before you get any videos up, Gary.
I wouldn't count on that. I'm going to cut two of them tomorrow.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Don't hurt me.
I'm getting reports that my wife is in Southern California right now. And she found soju at Costco, so I'm very happy right now. Also, our Patreon, yes, geekshowgotthiscovered.com. You get all of the extra stuff, including the after party, which we do right after this show, which rarely stays on topic, which is, I guess, the content that you're paying for.
There's topics?
People know, like right? that?
I think if we were to establish a topic, maybe we'd stick to it.
Now, Tony, how do you feel about watching the Deadpool Wolverine video in the after party?
Well, you've already spoiled all of it, so yeah, let's do it.
Part of the job.
That's an answer.
Part of the job.
We asked Rebecca what she wanted to do for her birthday show, and she said spoil the Wolverine trailer for Tony. And we're not going back on that.
For my birthday, I want to ruin lives. So,
classic Rebecca.
Classic.
All right. So there you go. Let's see. Next on the news, this 28 years later is raking in some big names. And we still didn't even know if Cillian Murphy's going to be in it. He hasn't,
I'm not watching it.
Why?
They're fast.
They're fast zombies.
Fast zombies.
Don't like
scary.
The fast ones. The slow ones, I'm like, I can walk faster than you can.
Danny Boyle is directing, Alex Garland writing. And here are the latest.
The gang's back together, baby. Mm-hmm.
Here are the latest that have been added to the cast. Jodie Comer, right away, you've got me.
Babe alert.
Babe alert.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Double Babe alert.
Quicksilver.
Babe alert.
and Ralph Finney's
Fiennes.
Voldemort.
Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes. Rafe Fiennes.
Yes. Rafe Fiennes. They're calling it 28 years later as a joke about Aaron Taylor Johnson and his wife's age disparity.
Oh,
but
did he marry someone older than him?
Way older. She directed the John Lennon movie that he was in.
Oh.
He took her last name. That's why he's Aaron Taylor
Johnson.
That's
why he's Taylor Johnson.
Mommy issues, it sounds like.
Oh. Remember that episode of Killing Eve when she grabbed that guy's tie and then the elevator closed and then she killed him?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's such a good actress. Anyway. Yeah.
I misidentified this guy. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone with Quicksilver. I should have gone Kraven.
Kraven.
Oh, right.
Well,
the more important.
What's he craving? Sandwich or a release date?
I'll tell you what I'm craving, a release date for this movie.
Well, I'll get you one later. All right.
Those abs are fake.
Respectfully.
Ab separation is too big.
I don't know.
That's anatomically incorrect.
No, that's actually,
it's just mutant power.
That's the procedure
this,
I'm going in for on
gutter.
Thursday.
That's not a gutter. That's a canal.
I'll show you. I'll show you in 2 weeks when I come back and have that.
Hey, stop looking at my gutter.
That's a gum canal.
Kraven. Yeah, got a new release date. We were trying to figure this out in our Discord chat earlier. They've pushed it back to December.
After already pushing it back from last December to October.
Exactly.
It's obviously Fox's best Spider-Verse movie.
Clearly.
I know we've talked about this before. The budgets for Morbius and Madame Web both were like about $80 million. Mm-hmm. The budget for Kraven, $150 million.
That's just for Russell Crowe.
Just for Russell Crowe.
For the craft catering for Russell Crowe.
Pay extra for the Russell Crowe.
No, they had to get voice training because that Greek accent he did for Thor stuck.
It was so horrendous. I loved it.
Get rid of it.
It's been delayed so many times. And I thought, okay, so maybe they have some faith in it. They're putting it in at the Christmas season.
Yeah. I mean, also, don't forget, Madame Web got delayed, too.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Morbius.
But in the chat, it seems to be that they're just trying to stay away from Deadpool.
That's insane. Deadpool comes out in July.
Yeah,
right?
And it'll still be going strong at that point.
In October?
I mean,
so
maybe
Shipwreck Sean in our chat has a question whether or not you could keep a foot long sandwich in that gutter.
Yeah,
and I think you could.
Totally.
Not only that. That looks like one of those things that hold the tacos, you know?
Oh, yeah, taco stand. Taco stand.
One, two,
three
tacos.
Four,
yeah. Five. Yeah. No, here's what you do. You put
Tuesday
guacamole. Put guacamole right here.
Gonna cover his chest in tacos.
Also looks a bit like a percussion instrument.
Xylophone action.
Glockenspiel.
I don't know.
So his guacamole gutter there. All right.
Glockenspiel. There you go.
All right. Anyway,
he's mad. Don't objectify him.
He's very upset.
For an extra $20, we'll allow you to dine off the stomach of Aaron Taylor Johnson.
All right. Let's see.
Moving on to not sexy at all news.
Not sexy at all news. Lord of the
I'll
Rings.
Be the judge of that. That is not sexy.
Oh, no, my blind is about to fall.
Look, if you watch all three extended editions in a row, your virginity comes back.
Well, that's your chance here, because
I do it every year.
They're being re-released in theaters.
Oh, yes.
And,
wait, did you not know this yet, Lee? Oh, yeah.
What?
These will
spend the whole day.
These will be Peter Jackson's extended editions.
Christ,
yes.
Crutch.
So
15 endings of Return of the King instead of 9.
Exactly. So, these are the versions that he remastered in 2020 for the 4K Ultra HD release. Ooh. And this will be the first time they're in theaters. Fellowship on June 8th, Two Towers June 9th, and Return of the King June 10th.
These movies are so long that even
how long are they?
Even with movie ticket, even with movie ticket prices the way they are, you'll feel like you're getting a good time for your money, like back in 2000.
I saw these movies once in theater, and
yeah,
I've never seen them again.
Brag
you haven't, you haven't looked at them again.
That I can refrain from watching Lord of the Rings.
I think I've only watched them twice in my life.
You guys are really humble bragging right now.
How many times have you watched them?
How long has it been since they came out?
I don't know.
Once a year.
Two Towers came out when I was a junior.
Fellowship was Fellowship was 2001, 2002 for Two Towers, 2003 Return of the King.
So
because wasn't the advertising for Two Towers a little on the nose?
At least 21 times.
Oh, you watch it every year?
I watch it every year on my birthday.
Nice.
There you go. Oh.
Yeah, because I, for one, am a man of culture, and I don't watch that Hobbit trash.
Well, this is your year then, because you got Prime Video's drama series, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
Yeah.
Is going to release its second season. There's no premiere date yet, but
I'm the only fan. I'm so excited.
Fall or winter.
I want to love those, and visually they are amazing, but I just fall asleep watching them. Mm-hmm.
See that elf fighting that Balrog? That was cool. I was watching the whole thing.
But wait, there's more. Warner Brothers is releasing an anime film, Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim,
the Horse Lords. Yes. Rohan! Oh my God, Carrie, stop masturbating me.
I know, right?
Creepers, creepers.
That's being released in December. In theaters, so
Kraven versus the Rohirrim.
So that, it's a bad news, good news year for Lee George Cade. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going
to
spend a day with my guts out in the open, but at least I get another couple hours of Lord of the Rings.
There you go.
Da-da-da.
It's all right. Just coming up lazy.
Everything's coming up lazy. All right, so I think if I'm correct, this book, Project Hail Mary, I think this is written by the guy who wrote The Martian.
Correct, Andy Weir.
Yeah. Andy Weir, thank you. This is now being optioned as a film, Project Hail Mary, Ryan Gosling in the lead role. It's finally going forward. Amazon MGM's ready to bring it to theaters. It looks, I mean, you know, because I liked The Martian a lot, the movie. I didn't read the book, but
the book is phenomenal.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. I like the extended edition better.
I think the movie, it does a very good job of adapting the novel. Nice. But I also hear, I haven't read Project Hail Mary. It's on my list, but I hear it's pretty good. Chris Lord and Phil Miller, though.
Yes, that's also part of the deal. They're going to direct it. Here's the plot. Ryland Grace, a school teacher turned astronaut, wakes up from a coma riddled with amnesia and aboard the space station Project Hail Mary. Eventually, he starts to put his memories back together where he realizes he was sent to the Tau Ceti solar system to reverse a solar dimming event that could wipe out humanity.
What?
Not
so wait a minute. So it's Sunshine meets, oh crap, Seven Eves meets Wakes Up in the Space Station, meets Sally Ride.
Oh, man, this sounds cool.
Sunshine. That's the one I was thinking of.
That's
Sunshine.
Danny Boyle, which Sunshine?
Which is not available to stream anywhere, by the way.
No, because it's too intense.
Because I wanted to watch it, but I'd have to rent it.
No, did you say it's more intense than, like, Event Horizon?
Oh, Event Horizon is intense.
I think it is, but Event Horizon just had an awful advertising campaign, and I thought the movie was called Amanda Risen. But also I have bad ears. So
the person who wrote this for IO9 said that they read this book, and they said that if you like the Martian book, that you'll like this book too.
I hear, because Andy Weir's written a couple of other books too, I believe, but people say that Project Hail Mary is like his best follow-up to the Martian.
He wrote Lord of the Rings, you know.
I'm just glad Ryan Gosling's finally getting more roles after that terrible movie that he was in, La La
Barbie.
Land.
You didn't like La La Land?
Oh, that was Dookie.
What do you have against Emma Stone?
I like Emma Stone. I like Ryan Gosling. I don't like that movie, though.
Were you sad about the ending of La La Land? Is that why you didn't like it?
No.
He was asleep.
The ending was very sad.
Yeah, but it was kind of realistic, though, which was actually the best part about that movie.
So what? Okay. What?
How did La La Land hurt you? There you go.
Yeah. Do you just not like song and dance?
We've already been over that. Musicals.
Mm-mm. Yeah. He.
Do
no
you
like
not it. Like it when white men try to claim they invented jazz?
also bad. Check, yes.
Wait. Are you saying my dad's been lying to me all this time?
Oh, is your dad Ryan Gosling?
That whole movie just felt like Hollywood patting itself on the back the whole time.
That's Damien Chazelle's. Tony, I double dog dare you to watch Babylon.
I don't think so. Not unless there's a five after it.
And even then, maybe not.
And even then.
Points for Tony there. if we were playing after midnight, I'd be giving you 200 right now.
Oh my gosh! Speaking of after midnight, did you see Drew Carey talk about going to see Fish at the Sphere? Yes.
That's in my what I consume this week discussion.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
It's coming up.
Yep.
All right. Here's some more news. We're getting another Evil Dead movie.
Hell
no,
yeah,
no.
Oh, this guy looks awesome.
He's no
the black and white picture.
Isn't that last one? That's the guy from Sparks, isn't it?
It looks a little like Groucho with the full mustache.
His name is Francis, and he's the new director.
Francis. looks like Francis.
The last Evil Dead movie hurt me.
Yeah,
because it was so good.
No, it was too intense. It was more intense than any Danny Boyle movie.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I feel like the last Evil Dead Rise was less intense than the Fede Alvarez Evil Dead.
I can't say that I watched that because it has a tongue slicing scene and I have phobias.
They were both pretty intense. In an intense off, I'm not sure who would win. But
I feel like the Fede Alvarez one would win.
They were both good.
This guy looks like he had to be convinced to do this movie.
No,
that
this
expression
was his
on his face. He's
this
like,
was his idea. He presented it to Sam Raimi. Francis Galluppi is his name. He took it to Sam Raimi and said, "I have an idea. What do you think?" And Sam Raimi said, "Yes, yes."
Hell yeah, brother.
I think Raimi's exact words are, "I take cash or Venmo."
Well, his exact words are, "Francis Galluppi is a storyteller who knows when to keep us waiting in simmering tension and when to hit us with explosive violence."
Ooh, that's the Sam Raimi way.
Yeah, what? Mm-hmm. So... this guy also did The Last Stop in
Yuma
County?
County, about a traveling salesman who encounters two vicious bank robbers. It premiered at Fantastic Fest. People liked it. It won't be in theaters till May. And then there's still another Evil Dead spinoff that's being prepared by Sebastian Vanitzek.
Can we just go back to Happy Evil Dead?
No.
Army of Darkness, maybe?
Yeah, the best one.
Now, this other one, this Sebastian Vanitzek guy, he's got a movie out now on Shudder called Infested, which is described as Attack the Block with Spiders.
Ooh.
Okay.
Tell me more.
There you go.
All right. Go and go some of them spiders. Go inside. From watch
Mars?
Naruto. Play FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only dialogue from Attack the Block I remember.
But your accent was impeccable.
I know.
How can you expect anyone to call you a motherfucker if you ain't going to act? What's the line? There's such a good line that a child says.
Your accent was also fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's because Rebecca and I are secretly British.
I knew it.
I suspected. Thank you for confirming.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. Alien the series. We got more cast. Sandra Yee Skinnadiver, who is in Foundation and Wheel of Time, has joined the cast of the series, Noah Hawley. And now we know that it is set 30 years before the original film.
The quote from Attack the Block is, "No one is going to call you Mayhem if you keep acting like such a pussy."
Do the accent.
"No one is going to call you Mayhem if you keep acting like such a pussy."
Yay!
Bravo.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, there we go. There's that.
I'm excited for this Alien series because it's about time that we start establishing that they were around before Ripley.
Well,
did you guys see the animatronic face hugger that they had wandering around? They should release like 100 of those at Comic-Con.
This is for Alien Romulus that takes place between the first and second Ripley movies.
I'm glad I didn't see that because after the flamethrower robot dog, I'm done.
Amen.
That thing, yeah.
Now, Tony, what do you know about this game, El Paso Elsewhere? What do you know?
So this game, I played through the demo before it came out, and it's really cool. If you take Max Payne and then mix it up with vampires and werewolves, you get this game. And I love the game mechanics for Max Payne with the slow motion diving and everything. And this has a really cool vibe. So I think, I haven't played the full game since it came out, I think a month ago.
It's It's being described as a neo-noir vampire video game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. Max Payne is neo-noir. Mm-hmm. And I think it's ripe for a great conversion from the stuff I've played of it.
Well, and right away, you've got a terrific actor in the lead, Lakeith Stanfield. He's
awesome.
So damn good. There's no writer or director yet, but he's going to produce and star in it.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens.
I have to say, Sorry to Bother You is one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years.
That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Equisapiens, I didn't see them coming.
Speaking of vampire movies, did you see the set photo from the Michael B. Jordan Ryan Coogler vampire movie? It's a picture of Michael B. Jordan. He looks like he's from Wild Wild West. He's got that old timey 1800s fancy suit, little glasses. Mm-hmm. And
that's the Western vampire movie that they're making.
Ooh, awooga.
It looks cool. The game centers on a vampire hunter named James Savage, who is on the hunt for his ex-girlfriend named Janet, aka Dracula. L-A-E. Dracula.
Yeah.
Who seeks to bring about the end of the world. So there you go. That'd be interesting. All right.
And yet still no one's making Anno Dracula. You cowards.
And finally, this. Nathan Fillion was interviewed recently about his take on Guy Gardner. This is what he has to say about him playing Guy Gardner. The reality is that people have flaws. We all have quirks. We all have vulnerabilities. You could have the most wonderful family, but be like, oh my God, my dad drives me nuts. He's got this one thing. Everybody's got something, and I love to lean into those faults and flaws. It's what makes people real and what allows audiences to relate, because we all know what that is. We all have our own. We witness it in other people. Guy Gardner is 90% flawed and doesn't care. That's one of his flaws.
That sweet monkey squeezing Jesus. That is the best description I've ever heard of Gardner.
Yeah, that's great.
I think there's a real freedom in playing squeezing. That. So for a guy who likes to play flaws and flawed people, Guy Gardner is a gold mine.
Nice.
So it sounds to me like James Gunn sat him down and said, here's what Guy Gardner is.
I
don't know, because I mean, Fillion has done Green Lantern on five different occasions already. He's been Jordan. But he's been Jordan on, it was Emerald Knights, one of the DC director videos, and then the last iteration of DC's animation, he was Hal Jordan as well.
I think
not the Tomorrowverse stuff.
Yeah, I think he could do either character really well. I think he could fit into either role really well. But I think I'd like him as Gardner more than I like as...
I'm curious.
Yeah.
You know who else did somebody who did a good Gardner, which was surprising to me, is I'm going to forget his name now. Diedrich Bader.
Diedrich Bader.
Oh, really?
He did it on Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Oh.
Diedrich Bader is an actor that flies under the radar for most people. He's so good in just about everything he does.
Isn't he doing Batman on?
He's done Batman as well.
Yep.
He shows up ever so briefly in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear they cast the lead in Neuromancer?
No, I didn't hear that.
It's a guy named Callum Turner is playing Case.
Callum Turner.
Yeah, I've got a picture of him. I can put it up if you want.
Sure, if you got one.
Because he looks like this guy, and I'm just excited about Neuromancer.
This guy?
This guy.
Now, remind me in Neuromancer. Remind me what that is.
Neuromancer's like the first, if not necessarily the first, but one of the earliest that it's debated to be the first cyberpunk novel.
He's dating Dua Lipa.
Yeah. I mean, not like that should matter. We should judge him by his own qualifications. Look at my email.
I'm just saying good for him. He's landed Dua Lipa. Yeah.
Well, I know. Good for him, right? And Neuromancer. The guy, if things coming up, Callum.
It's a good year for you and Callum.
Yeah, so it's a great book, because a lot of stuff like the World Wide Web, there's so much stuff that he kind of predicts, but it's also funny because there's a great big plot point where a bunch of payphones are activated to cause a disruption during a heist.
Yeah,
so
William Gibson did the future really well in a lot of aspects, but other aspects, you know, totally.
Why would we get rid of payphones?
Well, like, exactly. We've talked about it before because like I started to listen to the book, but the ADHD just won't allow me to.
It's very, it's a very dense listen or read.
But he, he included a foreword in like the reprinting of the book that said, "Hey, listen, I didn't. Yeah. I'm not a wizard. I didn't know this was gonna be the case."
he's still like an awfully prescient writer. Like the Peripheral, which is a pretty good series too. That's already been adapted.
I was so sad the when Peripheral, the second season got canceled.
Peripheral's kind of terrifying.
It
like
is.
It's very much a case of here's how we'll end up using time travel.
Have you looked at Periphery yet?
Not yet.
Not Periphery. I'm sorry. Sorry. Agency.
No. It's on my list. It's on my list. But Rebecca, your comment you just made would probably make William Gibson so damned happy. I tried to listen to the audiobook, but my ADHD wouldn't let me. Is literally the plot to Neuromancer.
Oh, I'm Neuromancer.
Wow.
You are.
You are.
Yes.
I'm the Neuromancer.
You're the Neuromancer now. All right. What did we consume this week? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Tony.
Well, I'm reading Neuromancer. I'm about rereading, I should say. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. They're up at the space station, and oh man, it's good stuff.
So good.
Yeah, it's really good
stuff.
So good. And then, man, it's weird. Everything we talked about just ties into what I've been watching lately. Callum Turner is in Masters of the Air, which I'm watching on Apple TV Plus.
What's Masters of the Air?
It's a really good so far. World War II bomber plane miniseries.
So it's not about Stratos from He-Man?
No, there's no Stratos.
Thank you, Lee. Because okay. It's a He-Man prequel.
Exactly. I'm the master of the air, Skeletor.
But it's got him, and it's got Austin Butler.
Barry Keoghan.
And Barry Keoghan. Yeah, it's got a really cool cast.
Quite a cast, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really, really good so far. So that's one I can recommend. And then Jodie Comer, I just started watching Killing Eve for the first time.
Oh, really?
Holy cow. I only watched one episode so far, and I'm just like, I'm in 100%. This show's awesome.
Two of my favorite actresses, Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer.
Sandra Oh is
show.
So good in yeah. this. Like, oh, yeah.
Ooh, I want to rewatch Killing Eve. It's been a minute. I haven't even seen the last season because I thought the season before the last season, I thought it ended really well. And I didn't want to ruin it.
Tony, you just started. I'm sorry because I did ruin a really good kill. I did not ruin the best kill.
I already forgot what we talked about. So
good. But
I feel like the
one
that you mentioned, though, is in the first episode, isn't it?
No, it's later in the first season, but it's not quite the Amsterdam kill.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's just this first episode. I'm just watching like, wow, that Jodie Comer, she is really pretty.
Respectfully.
and she's a really good actress. And then Sandra Oh is hilarious in this.
I wanted Jodie Comer to be Invisible Girl in the Fantastic Four.
That would have been awesome.
The thing about Jodie Comer, she deserves to be a superstar. And why she isn't already is beyond me.
Because she keeps playing weird roles. She likes to play the weird stuff.
She
and
makes these strange projects. She did a one-woman show on Broadway recently, too.
Did she?
Yeah.
Jodie.
It's called Objectify Me Respectfully, Rebecca.
Awooga. Underscore. Awooga. And then I'm watching this documentary on Hulu that's narrated by Ant-Man.
Which
Ant-Man?
It's called Secrets of the Octopus, and it's narrated by Paul Rudd, and it's a documentary about octopuses. Octopi?
Oh, really? Octopi.
Octopussies, Tony? You went with that one?
Well, maybe he's a James Bond fan.
It was Maude Adams.
It was forefront in my mind.
Even James Bond fans want to forget that one.
I love that Robert knew who played Octopussy. By the way, he had the actress's name, Maude Adams, right there.
Also front of mind for Rob.
Yes. Give us your 2% of knowledge from Octopussy.
Exactly.
But I've always been fascinated by octopuses. And,
Octopodes is correct. Yes, thank you, Bug Hunter.
And so there's a whole documentary about how like intelligent they are and their camouflage skills and everything. It's crazy. They'd make a perfect like candidate for a superhero.
If you're a fan of octopi and Nathan Fillion, he plays an octopus in Resident Alien, and you should watch that show.
Okay, I'll have to get back on that bandwagon
because they're actually aliens.
Yes. That's the story.
That's the only explanation for octopi. I would believe the theory that they are aliens and not of this planet.
It's crazy.
Tragically short-lived. That's the one thing they don't have going for them.
Oh, longevity. Okay.
Yeah. So smart.
The way they can change the color of their skin and the texture of their skin nearly instantaneously is just absolutely fascinating.
They can, is it them that can pull pranks? They can pull pranks.
They use tools.
There's footage from an aquarium of an octopus getting out of his tank every night after they leave. They turn off the lights, and the octopus climbs out of his tank and goes into the other tank to hang out with the other fish.
It can get itself out of a jar. Yeah. Like, if you pop one in a jar,
one at the Living Planet Aquarium who will unscrew a peanut butter jar, climb in, and close it behind him.
They can predict soccer matches.
They wrote The Martian.
Andy Weir is an octopus.
I knew it.
I ate a live one about 8 years ago when I was in Korea.
I could never.
First off, I can't eat live. Yeah, I can't do that. But secondly, the dang octopuses are too smart. I can't do it.
I felt bad afterward.
But bacon's okay.
Yeah, well, the reason why Carrie ate it is because it said, I did the Wordle in two today. And Carrie's like, oh, man, I did it in four.
It was just something that you do when you're in Korea and at Busan in the biggest fish market in the world. And they, you know, they prepare you stuff. And
you just get caught up in the moment and start eating live octopods.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, like you do.
And then, last but not least, I guess I decided I was feeling too confident in my ability to play video games, and so I started playing Elden Ring.
Uh-oh.
And now I know I'm not good at video games. That game is so dang hard. And yet, for some reason, I continue to come back to it. I don't... I can't, Stockholm Syndrome, I guess. But anyway, that's it for me.
You poor sweet summer child.
You,
I need to go now, Carrie, because I have a similar story of woe.
All right,
it's pretty terrible. So this is gonna be the week that I was gonna watch all the shows because I don't know what state of mind I'm gonna be in when I come out of surgery.
Exactly.
So I was like, I gotta watch all the shows, but then I started playing Fallout 76 because I'm bad at games. How bad could it be, right? Mm-hmm. So I was the god of Fallout up until level 3 when everybody in the world ganked me because they didn't like me and they said I was too cool and that my outfit was not fly. So anyway, whatever, jerks.
So they were saying
you are pretty fly for a white guy, Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
They were saying you were too cool, but your outfit was not?
Pretty much, yeah. But
okay.
Anyway, then I watched this really cool thing happen during our thumbnail contest where Rebecca just came in out of nowhere and stole the whole thing from everyone. And so if you see the thumbnail from this episode, it was supposed to be Michael Burnham looking at static on the screen from the Time Bug episode. And we had some really good entries. And then Rebecca's like, well, how about if she's looking at Boimler's taint?
Wow.
And then one of our listeners is like, that is the greatest idea I've ever seen. And he made it happen. He put it together. He did a fantastic job. It's Magnesium J.
Thank you.
He said that his digital arts teacher from 20 years ago is probably very proud of him right now because obviously he taught him well.
Skills.
And he did a really good job cropping around the hand where she's holding right above Boimler's taint.
Here, hold on. I'll show it to you guys.
It is flawless.
I love it. There we go.
Yeah. It's just fantastic. So that kept me delighted for hours because I'm a little bit brain dead.
I bow down to Jay.
So folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, we do on our Patreon. We open it up for our thumbnail captions because I don't want to use AI anymore for the thumbnails, and I just don't have time to draw it myself. So we come up with a pop culture reference, we do it, our Patreon people vote on it, but Rebecca took it to the next level. So now I think we're just going to make it more challenging and bring in the panelists every week because I think there's this kind of frenetic kinetic energy that's going on that I love. So
there you go.
It's fantastic.
Geekshowgotthiscovered.com.
Yeah, X-Men 97 this week.
I forgot. Yeah,
gosh. Thank you for giving me everything I want in an X-Men show. So, something broke in my brain, and I became obsessed with scale model railroads this week. So,
tell me more.
Another thing for you to focus.
Scale.
Well, and it's funny because it's not that I want to build a model railroad. It's these videos on YouTube where these guys are doing amazing scenery that I want to steal and use for tabletop war games.
But then
part of my brain last night when I was watching the Thunder Mesa Studio on a guy in Arizona builds beautiful haunted railroads. And then I was like, well, what if I built a train set that could be used for tabletop war games?
So funny you should mention that. Back when this room was one third train layout, the reason that I got back into O-scale railroading, I went O-scale because it was the same scale as HeroClix, right. So I could use my HeroClix in my terrain on my layout.
Yeah, because O-scale translates roughly somewhere in between 28 and 32 millimeter miniatures. So I ended up watching all of that instead of the other things I was supposed to. Until last night, I was really sleepy, and I watched the Las Vegas documentary and laughed and laughed and laughed because gambling's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have recommendations for what I should watch while I'm in the hospital, part of me thinks that I'm going to go and try to play an easier Fallout than Fallout 76 and play Fallout 3 where other players can't come and kill me because I'm too pretty.
That's a good idea. Yep.
In the Vegas documentary, do they talk about how the buffet became popularized in the United States because of Las Vegas?
I haven't gotten to that yet.
I don't recall that. Maybe no.
But I think it has everything to do with the same reason why they did free liquor, because when you are full, your dopamine levels are really high and your judgment goes down. So I mean, everything in gambling meccas, I only worked in a casino for 5 years, but everything in that place was engineered to keep you compliant and happy. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why there's movie theaters in some of the casinos now, because they want you to throw your kids in the movie theater and gamble while they're watching movies. They need you to not think about anything. So, yep. Or as my wife put it, our absolute favorite, she was dealing blackjack on Mother's Day. And this sweet 70-year-old lady walks up, taps her. He's at the high stakes table. She taps him on the shoulder and she's like, I would really like to go now. It's Mother's Day. And he gives her $20 in chips and says, go away, Ma, you're bad luck.
Oh,
jeez.
That sums up basically how I feel about table games industry.
All right. Wow. There you go. Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
All right. Book. So, as I mentioned, and I just oversized that horribly. Book that I'm reading now is, seriously, come on, fingers, work. A Blade So Black, which is a retelling of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh,
and
look at
that.
Whoa.
It is still, it's set in Atlanta, or part of it is set in Atlanta, part of it is set in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's been a good read. X-Men 97, all I'm going to say is, if you know.
We'll talk about that in the after party.
Yeah.
Finally finished Fallout. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
I bought all the miniatures, Rob. You ready?
I am ready.
Okay. We're going to Nuclear World.
I want to play.
It was fun. Let's see what else. Fallout, X-Men. So for movie night this night, we watched. I made a comment a couple of weeks ago about, so what's the big deal about Rex Manning Day? So, because I've never seen Empire Records before this past Wednesday, and I watched it, and it was just like, okay, I've watched this movie now, and I had a couple of observations about it. And one of them is like, that is what all of the Rex Manning hullabaloo is all about? Really?
I didn't notice anything outside of Liv Tyler in that movie.
Yeah. Not even Bridget Jones?
I don't remember much of it.
And it reminded me, because it keeps slipping my mind, that I actually did work in a CD superstore for about a year and a half. I'm like, okay, that's kind of familiar. But I can tell that I came to this movie probably 35 years too late. For it to be really relevant, but I'm also like, this is not my demographic. This would be like me showing a bunch of you House Party with Kid and Play and going, all of that, and you just going, sure.
Oh.
Yeah, right. So I'm watching this just kind of going, all right, that's great. I can now say that I've seen this.
Okay. Hmm. You checked one off of the list.
It has been checked off the list. Comics-wise.
Yes.
Let's start with Star Trek Defiant, a character that I cannot mention because Rebecca's on here.
Yes.
Returns. from the TNG timeline.
Hey, is that, what's her name?
This is B'Elanna Torres. This is not Kalar.
I was going to say.
Okay.
She was on Voyager, right?
No, because if it was... Right.
So, in this book...
If it was who you think it is, her head would be up in the lettering because she's so tall.
Yes. But this is... this book and the current Star Trek book have a mixed crew from, wow, all of the shows.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's delightful.
Like, it's like a fan said, I want a show with these characters. And so they're okay, like, here you go.
Okay, here we are.
Hey, you know how Tom Paris is a dick? Let's show it more.
He's not quite as much in this, but
yeah,
a bit. Ultimate Spider-Man number 4, excuse me, with Pete and Mary Jane have dinner with Harry Osborn and Gwen Stacy.
Oh.
And sparks don't fly. It's
awkward.
Not like that.
Yeah,
but it's okay. One of those, if you have the background with all four of them, you're like, that could go horribly wrong. So
yes.
That's but it doesn't.
I wouldn't go there to that dinner. I would not.
Rise of the Powers of X number 4. Charles is digging his own grave. I'm just going to leave it at that. That covers everything in a nutshell.
He's wrist deep right now.
And like physically or metaphorically?
Yes.
Okay.
That's I remember his fifth death. It was cute.
And I missed this one last week. Fantastic Four number. Can't tell what number it is. 19. Ryan North, who gave us the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl series.
Ah.
Writes a noir story with Sue Storm and Alicia Masters, and it is a delight to read.
Now, let me just say something from a graphic design perspective, how flawless that cover is, because you know it's a noir just from the lettering.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just plays flawless. Right into it. The great thing is they drop you directly into the story with no explanation as to
just
where the last episode ended or last issue ended. You just right into it, and you're just like, okay, well, I'm going to turn the page and keep following this until it's done. And it was delightful. And the last thing, so it's not uncommon knowledge that I'm a toy photographer. There's a local toy store here called BT&T Toys on State Street. They deal mostly in old collectibles.
Yep, yep.
And Terry had this made for me.
Oh, my goodness.
What is?
It is me.
Complete with... That's awesome.
That's pretty damn good.
Is
that a custom head or did they?
I do not know. I was like, I was not going to ask. I'm like, I'm just going to be very grateful and thankful.
Wow, that's
I walked
cool.
into the door, into this store. He's like, I got your thing for you. I'm like, okay.
What
and he handed me this. And it even has accessories like a little action figure. glasses. I'm just like, wow. It's the total package.
An action figure with its own action figure.
That store.
It's action figure inception. It's awesome.
That store had a complete Fisher-Price Little People Sesame Street playset about 4 years ago. And I was like, yeah, it's $275, but if I bought it for my wife, I would never have to buy her anything again. She would be, you know.
infinite
it
spouse
wasn't
points.
There when I went back to get it.
You make those up when you see them.
So there's my week.
All right, Rebecca.
Okay, couple movies, because I missed last week, so sorry about that. Also, my blinds, I have paper blinds up in this room, and they fell down. So,
oh, they fell? I wondered why you opened them. I was like, why would you do that?
No, I don't know if you saw me go like this, and the sun poured into the room.
If I had the time, I would have digitally edited you bursting into flames and disappearing.
No, I've got paper blinds up in this room, and they just did not stay up. Friendly reminder, Challengers is out now, and if you have not gone to see Challengers, please go see Challengers. This movie fucking rules.
This is the Zendaya tennis movie.
Yes, and it's just, this is the stuff, you guys. It's so good. I watched Clue for the first time this week.
The movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good a classic.
For you.
That
was fun.
Classic.
Good
yeah,
for
that
you.
Was fun. That was fun. I had seen the clips of like the flames on the side of my face. I'd seen that before, but now in context, it's a lot funnier.
Yep.
Late Night with the Devil is finally streaming on Shudder.
That went quick.
Yeah, here's the thing about this movie. I like the idea of this movie more than the movie itself.
The execution didn't quite...
The setup and the payoff for it, I was not very impressed by. I, in my head, have come up with a better way to make this movie. And I know that's not, like, the point of movies, but...
No, but I do that with Star Trek Into Darkness all the time and Carrie gets mad.
Yep.
This is that one with David Dalmatian.
Yes. Dalmatian. Ooh, by the way, he is the brand ambassador for Titan Caskets.
Wait, in real life?
Like in real life. And he now has an interview show that's online now called Grave Conversations, where he interviews people and they're each in a casket.
They're each lying in a casket. The camera's mounted on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And they're lying in caskets playing video games, and he's interviewing them.
He's interviewing them. It's his hot ones. It's his chicken chop date.
He needs to do a collab with Tim Robinson and do a Coffin Flop 2 sketch.
You guys, I looked at Titan Caskets' website. Do you want to be buried in a wicker basket?
Yes.
You can.
You can?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Anyway. So Late Night with the Devil, I liked the idea of the movie more than the movie itself. There was some really good body horror stuff in it. Okay. But overall, like the setup and the payoff and like the whole why behind the movie, just not very impressive to me. It felt kind of lazy. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. Okay. Another movie that came out last week or the week before, Hundreds of Beavers. It's a story of a man who ruins his life due to alcoholism and is on the path to rebuild his life after losing everything.
Where did the beavers come in?
So it is a movie that it is in black and white. If you like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin,
mm-hmm. I do.
And Looney Tunes, mm-hmm. this movie is for you. It is, I would watch a documentary about how they made this movie because... silent black and white film, lots of slapstick physical humor, and hundreds of beavers. I literally don't know what else to say about it because it's just wacky. It is a wacky movie. It is a little bit too long. It comes in at just under 2 hours. Doesn't really need to be.
No, 90 minutes for that kind of thing.
Yeah, but just absolutely hilarious. Like, I had fun watching it, and I would highly recommend it, too. I give it 4 out of 5, just because it was impressive. It's an impressive movie to make, especially in this time in our century.
Okay.
There's and lastly,
a lot of beavers on that poster.
Hundreds of them, yeah. And lastly, that's also out this week, Boy Kills World, that Bill Skarsgård action revenge movie. Mm-hmm. Bill Skarsgård plays a mute deaf guy who is out seeking revenge for the death of his mother and his sister. But his internal monologue is voiced by H. John Benjamin. And I only recently learned that they added that after the movie debuted at TIFF last year. The voice was just Bill Skarsgård. But I guess I don't know how it was met critically at TIFF, but then they went back and added H. John Benjamin's voice as his internal monologue.
Who doesn't like internal H. John monologue? Benjamin. It works perfectly.
Yeah.
It's great. I thought it was, I think it works really well. Jessica Roth, we know her from Happy Death Day. She is a character in this movie called June 27, and she, for me, steals the show. I think she was phenomenal. Sorry, my dog is now like,
love me, mom.
Some great action sequences. I think we're entering an era now where a lot of action sequences are going to push the limits of how long they can go and how graphic they can go, and this movie definitely tests those boundaries. It felt like watching a comic book. Like if you told me this was based off of an Image comic book, I would absolutely believe you, because it plays out like an Image comic. It was really cool. But 3.5. The twist of the movie felt like a bit of a stretch for me, but overall, like, I had fun because it was a cool action movie. So
there's some people really panning the hell out of this movie, and you would say not really deserved.
It's not the best movie ever made. I don't think it's a total stinker of a movie.
How would it compare to like Guns Akimbo?
Same vein. Definitely same vein. Okay. I want to say the fight choreographer for this movie was the fight choreographer for Guns Akimbo.
Oh,
he was the fight choreographer for Black Widow. I will tell you that.
Oh,
I love Guns Akimbo.
There were some good fights in Black Widow too.
But like stylistically, comically, action wise, like totally, you could do a double feature with Guns Akimbo and Boy Kills World and have a
Sold.
Blast.
I'll get it. I'll watch it.
Yeah, it sounds like right up my alley.
Your review of the Zendaya tennis movie reminds me that my niece did a People Who Make a Difference report in her class, and she did Zendaya.
Zendaya, movie star of a generation. Like, she...
Oh, yeah.
Multiple people that she have worked with have said that she's on her way to be a director. Like, she has the skills that would easily translate into being a director, and I cannot wait for her to do that.
All right. I consumed one of the funniest things I've seen on television in a long time.
I told you not to watch my diary.
That was After Midnight's episode featuring Drew Carey, Thomas Lennon, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Now, did Thomas Lennon kind of create After Midnight like 20 years ago, or was he just the host?
I don't know.
It was an MTV show or something.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was Chris Hardwick or something.
That was at midnight.
Okay. Anyway.
I'll look it up.
Did you find it?
It was Chris Hardwick. Sorry.
Oh. It was one of the funniest hours of television that I've seen in a long time.
The callbacks were perfect.
Thomas Lennon was a producer of At Midnight.
Oh, okay. There we go. Thomas Lennon was so... He was the stealth ninja joke, the joke ninja in that whole thing. He would just throw them out, and they'd just kill. Drew Carey seemed a little shaky and weird, and then he told his fish in the big dome story, which people are still talking about. And believe it or not, Weird Al Yankovic was the least funniest person on the show. He was funny. He always is. But that's the amount of funny that we had per pound on this episode.
He seems like a really shy guy. Like everything I've heard about him that in person, he seems to be a little withdrawn and shy. So,
Drew Carey?
Weird Al.
Go to your Paramount Plus because they run the show and it's there. Watch that episode, and you will love it. Because it was Alien Day yesterday, and I don't know why it was Alien Day, but it is.
It's the 20th anniversary.
426.
Is that it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so LV-426 is where they found the planet, the aliens.
All right. I watched all six of the Alien movies.
Holy cow.
Jesus.
In one day?
Not in a day, no. Over a couple of days. Well, Sue's out of town, so this is when I dig out all the stuff, you know, that I'm going to watch.
If you were to start all the Alien movies on one TV and all the Lord of the Rings movies on another TV, you would still have Lord of the Rings left when you finish the six Alien movies.
Makes sense.
But I went back. I watched Prometheus. I watched Covenant. I watched all four. I forgot how brutal number three was.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a brutal one.
That's the prison one, right?
Yeah.
Is it Fincher?
Then. Yeah. Four. I didn't realize that the final one, Joss Whedon wrote it. Didn't even register to me.
It was his script, and then it was directed by the people who did Delicatessen and City of Lost Children, who, if you haven't seen those movies, they're phenomenal. Carrie, you and I saw the third Alien movie together. It was one of our first dates.
That's right.
Cute.
Yeah, at Crossroads Cinema.
Such a brutal movie. But anyway.
It is.
I enjoyed all of them. Discovery this week. Star Trek Discovery this week.
Yes.
Oops. Wow.
And by the way, thank you, Carrie, for your comment about the payoff from the episode before. I was like, yep, got it.
Is Time Bug the latest episode, or am I one behind?
No, there's one more.
I got one behind. Watch today, then.
Time Bug's a good episode. But
Time Bug was good.
This next one comes along, and it just, wow, there it is. X-Men 97, of course, we're going to talk about on the after party. But I consumed literally this week the True Moo Star Wars Blue Milk.
Oh. Was it everything you hoped it'd be?
It's like drinking melted ice cream.
I mean,
it's... that's just it. Milk is thick anyway, but they do something to this milk.
Cornstarch.
They treat it somehow, and it's thicker. And
is it more of like a creamer? Could you use it as a creamer?
It's really sweet.
Is it from Lars Farms? Because if it is, that's probably Uncle Owen. It's making it
Uncle
sicker.
Owen's cream. Gross.
It's vanilla flavored. And my first thought when I bought it was, oh, I can't wait to try this with some Frankenberry. Too sweet.
That'd be too sweet. Yeah.
It's too sweet.
This sounds great. I like everything I'm hearing, you know, except for the cream part.
But then when you scan the QR code on the label, it takes you to this whole site where there's recipes and trivia.
How to make a Grogu.
Hold on a second. Is there the equivalent of a white Russian recipe for it? Because that would probably polish
that sounds more like a blue Russian.
Let's take a look. Okay, you can make a blue milkshake, blue milk chocolate pie, smoothies, stormtrooper muffins, a
Grogu
smoothie.
You can do
smoothie.
All this stuff with other things, too. They're not special, Carrie.
Exactly. You know, so anyway. So
you can do this with Mountain Dew.
I can do this with oat milk.
But then there's
the champion of fake milk.
Then there's crafts. You can make a stormtrooper lantern out of a gallon milk jug.
Neat.
How to make a planter? You know,
you can leave it outside in a jug and scare away all the local wildlife.
Exactly. Then there's trivia, and you can play a little trivia game. See,
is it as good as Crunchy Stars?
Crunchy Stars was pretty damn good. I got
the box. The cereal box for Crunchy Stars won the Lee George Cade Award for greatest cereal box of all time in 2019.
And it won the best cereal for that year for me because it was delicious. Anyway, so yeah, it's you're gonna buy a half a gallon of it anyway, and then you'll maybe regret it.
Never.
Let me know, Tony.
How much was it? What's the retail price?
It was like $5, I want to say.
What's Biden's plan to adjust the cost of...
this conversation is one of the few times where I've said I'm really happy to be vegan.
is it at any grocery store, or do I have to go to a special one?
I went to Harmon's. It was just
one close by to where I live. So.
This is going to turn into, store. Here's $5, buy a Star Wars milk.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, there you go. That's what I consumed this week, literally. Anyway, all right. We're gonna head to the after party now. If you are a Patreon member, you can join us. GeekshowGotThisCovered.com.
Thank you. The week Tony has games.
I do, actually.
You do have games?
Yeah.
I was just counting on you not having games. Okay. Well, game me then.
Well.
He doesn't. He's bluffing.
No, I do. Top Spin 2K25. If you like them golfing games,
mm-hmm. What?
Ever.
Yeah, it's golf on your Xbox.
Oh, I thought you said dolphin games, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
They haven't
Tony?
Made a new Echo game in ages. completion of Xbox's releasing of their exclusive games on other platforms. This round finishes this week with Sea of Thieves on PS5. If you like your piratey games, Sea of Thieves is a good one. Yep.
Not a great game, but a good game.
And then also we got Prison Architect 2, so you can learn how to better make your for-profit prisons.
can I build a an abattoir in there? I
think so. Yeah. Yep. And then that's about it. I can't pronounce this one. Tuhu Mistia's Izakaya.
Two Mistias.
It's for the Switch. I don't know what it is. Ta-da! The end.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Now we'll head to the after party. We're going to watch the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, and we're going to talk about Baltimore, and Rebecca's got to fix her... She's being blinded right now.
Just put a hat on.
All right. Live long and prosper, bitches.
Bye.